Well, the question I have for you, is it worth it to serve the Lord? I think we need to encourage one another this morning. A lot's going on in life. Lots going on in this world, and I think sometimes the reality of the disasters that take place in the other side of the world and in our own country remind us of what's important in life. I want to hear some of you. How can you encourage one another this morning? Is it worth it to serve the Lord? Anyway, and we've got some microphones we need for you to hear you for the recording as well. Okay, all right, back here. All right, right here. Rich first, and then we'll have Kevin.
Yes, it is worth it. Oh, well. And I had many bad times in my life, and I prayed to the Lord and seen many miracles that you would think would be impossible. But when it comes to Jesus, it's not impossible. And I'd like to thank everybody in here who helped me through all my situation too. But it's best to serve Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Rich. Thank you.
Well, I just want to thank the Lord that what he's given me, what he's given this church. We are the hands and arms of Jesus. And we are to go out and proclaim the gospel. And that's, God didn't poke his head through the clouds and say, hey, accept my son as your Lord and Savior. He told us to do it. So that's my... God has given me this burden on my heart that we should go preach the gospel to everybody, not just our friends or across the sea. We give to the missionaries to preach the gospel. We should go out there to cross the street. We should go out to our neighbors. We should go out to our workers, our people go to school with, people we see at in the lines of the grocery store, anywhere. We should preach the gospel.
And it's worth it, too.
Amen.
All right. Anyone else? Yes, okay.
It's worth it because it gives us hope. I mean, all the things that we go through with Jason, I look at that and say to Mark, my husband, how could we do it without God? I don't know how other families do it. And because of that hope, we can, trust in Christ through all of it.
I'm glad the Lord brought my sweetie today with me and Jason. I told Jason yesterday, I was doing some things, getting him up. I said, we're going to go to church tomorrow, buddy. And he got pretty excited. So I'm glad to have all my family here. So back in the back, Corey, in the background.
I haven't had an opportunity to do this here, but in our previous church, we taught the kids. And there was nothing more exciting than to see a little third grader who just figured something out about prayer or about God's love, and the light goes on in their eyes and in their face, and they just brighten up. And, there's heavenly rewards. There's an emotional reward that the Holy Spirit is able to confer on us, but there's that satisfaction of seeing a child begin to understand. And this past week, Cynthia turned to Shannon, probably during a mealtime, because that's when she's usually making excuses, but she goes, Mommy, I need to go tell my friends about Jesus. Can I eat later? I think she was trying to get out of the meal. But there's a certain amount of pride as a daddy that goes, hey, she's starting to pick it up.
Well, the past couple weeks have been a little busy in our house, and I've been feeling very, very, very overwhelmed. And when I look around me, I know what Peter felt like when he stepped out of the boat and started looking at the waves, because it was... But for Lent, we don't do Lent like other people do Lent. And I have a Catholic background, so I'm always drawn back. But I've been doing a 40 days of prayer, and I'm already behind, so I'm in trouble. But last night, every time I open that book, it speaks to exactly what's going on. And yesterday was the full armor of God, and it said, what piece are you missing? And mine was... faith. God, I really need some faith. I need to know that you're operating in all of this. And I immediately felt his calm and his peace. And if I didn't serve him and I didn't have him, I would still be looking at the waves and sinking really quick. So,
thank you, Patty. Thank you. Okay.
Over here, Michael.
I'm kind of young, so I can't look over my long life and say, you know, it's worth it all. But I know over how long I've known God, it's been worth it all. And he's been faithful to me and then to me and Emily through our time here at in school. But sometimes God needs to remind you it's worth it all at a certain point in your life. And this is one of those points in my life. And I've been reading this book by a guy who was dead before George Washington was born. But it's an amazing book. But he reminds us that God's mercy and grace, everything he's given us, is so much more than anything we could have on earth. If God gives me an understanding of himself and faith and humility and love and patience and such fruits of his spirit, he gives me them forever. If he gives me himself and his Christ and his promises and his covenant, he gives me them forever. Who am I, therefore, that the sun should always shine upon me, that I must have fair weather all my days? What God gives to me, he gave it as a pledge of his love. Let me return it to him as a pledge of my obedience. So God has given us so much in his Son, and I need to be reminded of that every day, of everything that God has given us in his Son. And so when we go through trials in our lives, we just give it back to God and serve him as a pledge of our obedience because he's loved us so much.
Amen. 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 Thank you. Yes, over here, Corey. Hand it right over there. Okay.
Today in the teen Sunday school, we talked about parents and how parents have to discipline their children. And I'm relating it to, is it worth it all? You know, having four children, raising them, we committed to put God first in our lives. And disciplining children is not always easy. And that's kind of what we told the teens today, that, you know, your parents discipline you because they love you. And is it worth it all? Yes, it is, because having my boys now older and knowing that we are diligent in disciplining them when they were younger, seeing them serve the Lord now, it's worth it. So parents of young children and children who are younger and are being disciplined by their parents, just remember that it's worth it all.
Thank you.
I want to thank you, God, because when I'm finding this church, you know, it's a big blessing for me. I remember before, you know, the church helped me a lot. Suspension license. This church helped me out, and I really appreciate the whole congregation. You know, to the pastor, everybody in this church, all single members, and I really appreciate that. And I've been struggled before coming to this church, and thank you, Lord. I feel real comfort from this church because it be blessing family to Kevin, Pastor Mark, a lot of all the deacon helping me out. I feel real. I saw my mom pass away. You know, I have a lot of trouble. My family tried to travel in California, and I need to go travel to California because I have problems to my old brothers, you know. For hopefully everything go working, you know, to my family. Mm. You know, after my mom passed away, it's almost 2 years ago. Mm. I thank you, Lord, for this church, blessing big time. Mm. Thank you, Lord, for this.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, one more. All right, Marge.
I've just been trying to lately. God is so strong in my life, and he just guides me so much. And I totally put everything in his hands because I know now at this age, if I can't do it by now, it's because I really need him. Mm-hmm. And last week I had a bad situation, and I ended up having to go to the police station. And then this person was following me, and they told me there were no police in the building. And I thought, okay, I'm going to die here. He's going to shoot me. So I just gave it to God, and I just felt this big peace come over me. Mm-hmm. This guy came out of his vehicle, came after my car, but somewhere three cops came, mm-hmm. you know, and the whole situation was taken care of. There are a lot of those things in my life, but there's also I've been making a conscious effort to think at night when I go to bed about the small blessings. Mm-hmm. And there are so many. You know, I was coming home from lunch with a friend, and I had time to stop and pick up my granddaughter and get her off the bus just to surprise her. And then I surprised both of us, and we went to Dairy Queen. And just to see her toothless smile, and she was so excited about the day, you know, and just went, I just thank God for things like that. There's just so many beautiful blessings in our days. So he's there, and he's so worth it.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Well, thank you. We have to kind of cut it off at this point, but we'll share some more in the days to come. But I think we all need to be asking that question. Is it worth it to serve the Lord? When we buy products, when we have a hobby, we ask, what will it cost and will there be a benefit to me? Will there be an advantage? Will there be a help? If I buy or rent a home, what will it cost? What are the benefits? What are the pluses? But we need to evaluate that constantly in our spiritual lives. We need to be asking, is it worth it? What are the rewards? What are the benefits? And the big idea that I have on your outlines there for you is, it will cost you dearly to follow Jesus Christ, but it's worth it, both in this life and in the life to come. Follow along as I read in Mark chapter 10. If you need a Bible, we have some available for you. But Mark chapter 10, we're just considering a few verses this morning. So don't get too nervous, like we've got another hour. We've only got about 45, 50 minutes. No, not that long. But bear with me as we consider this truth. It's worth it all to follow Christ. Beginning with verse 28, Peter said to him, to the Lord, we have left everything to follow you. I tell you the truth, Jesus said, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Let's pray. Father, as we look to your word, please be our instructor through your Holy Spirit. Lord, where we need to be moved, where we need to be convicted, I pray that your Holy Spirit would do that which is most needful in our lives. God, may we, if we are not serving, may we get on board and start serving. May we start following. If we're on board, may we continue at it, to persevere, realizing that it is worth it all. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we will consider an investment that always pays back much more than you could ever imagine. For everyone who follows Jesus Christ as his disciples, there is a promise both of a cost and of rewards. First of all, let's look at the cost. The cost of following Jesus Christ is high. Verse 29 tells us a little bit about that. It talks, and we're going to look at that in just a moment, but thumb back with me to chapter 8. And this is not a new concept that the Lord brings out here in chapter 10. Mark has already recorded for us in an earlier passage, Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 38. The Lord just predicted his death. And he told them, I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to die. Then he says this, verse 34. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, if anyone will come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. Here he brings out several costs that are involved in following him. He says you need to deny yourself. Well, what does that mean? It's the idea of denying your own rights, denying your own way, just going on with a selfish life, denying your plans. And he says, take up your cross. Be willing to suffer. Be willing to even go to the point of death to follow me. And he talks about losing your life. Well, what does that mean? It means giving it away, looking out for the concerns of others, humbling ourselves. The cost is great. Thumb a little bit farther in Mark chapter 10. We looked at this last week. The illustration of the rich young ruler in verses 17 through 22.
And there was a man who had it all. He had wealth, position, and youthfulness. He also had good morals and good manners and sincerity. However, when asked to sell his possessions, to deny himself, to take up his cross and follow Christ, he was not willing to do it. It was too great a cost. His wealth had become his God, and he was unwilling to deny himself. And the Lord Jesus turned to his disciples after that encounter with the rich young ruler, and he said, "You must be willing to abandon all. It's impossible to trust in yourself and to follow me. The cost was too great." And so there we find ourselves now today in the following verses. He's giving further instruction about the cost in verse 29. He's talking here about it may cost you earthly possessions. Notice what it says, leaving or losing homes or land. It's not always necessary. When you follow Jesus Christ, many of you, you've not had to abandon your home and run off and live in a box. You've not had to abandon your land and sell it off or give it off. But we find in the book of Acts, it happened. In fact, the people were selling their land to provide for those in need. They were selling their property and giving to those who had left other places and were severely persecuted and had nowhere to live, and they were trying to do what they could to provide for their needs. They were opening their homes. They were doing whatever it took in the early church to help follow, to follow Jesus Christ. The book of Philippians, Paul goes on to say that he had served the Lord. He had abandoned all, but he was not complaining about it. He says, "I have left," and he gives a list of the things that he'd left. But he says, "You know what? I consider all the things that I had accomplished, all my privileges, all the things that I thought were so wonderful, I consider them nothing but waste, but dung, compared to knowing Christ and following him." And what did it cost the Apostle Paul? Boy, he was stoned. He was persecuted. He was mocked and ridiculed in every city he went in. He was severely punished for following Jesus Christ by those who did not love our Savior. Jesus and his kingdom need to come before earthly possessions. We need to be willing to forsake it all to follow Jesus Christ. I remember as a kid, I don't remember too much, but I remember as a kid when my dad left the security of his job. It was a good paying job. It was a secure job, one that he could have stayed at the rest of his life. But he left the job and he sold the house and he went off to Bible school. And Dad told me later, obviously I wasn't old enough to know all the implications and ramifications of that. But Dad, as we've talked later, as I went off to the mission field, before I went there, Dad said they thought that was the most foolish decision of all. And the most ridicule that he faced came from his own family members, not from the brothers or dad and mom, but some of the aunts and uncles, some of the people who had money. They said, "What a waste. What an unwise investment. We don't understand." And so we moved off to Bible school and lived in an apartment, and Dad got training for ministry. And then Dad went off to pastor in a small church in the middle of nowhere down in Virginia. I think my dad set an example for me. He showed that it's worth it to follow Jesus Christ and the joy and the benefits of following him. Oh, we didn't have an awful lot as I was growing up. We lived in some interesting places and didn't have a lot, but we had enough. And we had the Lord providing for our needs. I'm so thankful that my dad was willing to count the cost. The Bible goes on and it says in verse 29 about it may cost us earthly relationships. It talks about leaving brothers and sisters, father and mother, leaving children and family. Of course, this does not mean to disregard your family. It does not mean to dishonor the family. But it means that people need to be willing to put God first, even if it means leaving and going away from family. Leaving family. It's not always necessary for everyone, but for some it is to follow Jesus Christ. Sometimes the greatest cost is imposed by family. Several of my classmates at Bible school, I'll never forget them giving their testimony in chapel and then talking to them personally, that their parents had really virtually abandoned them because they were coming off to Bible college. Their parents were wealthy, and they looked at that, again, as a foolish decision. And they said, you go out on your own. You no longer have our blessing. I knew nothing of that. I really admired for their dedication. The cost for them was worth it all. I must admit, when we went off to Hong Kong, 10,000 miles from home, with the only grandchild on both sides, that was hard. In fact, it continues to be hard to be away from my family. Now, some of them, it's probably best that we're long distance away. But I really miss being near my dad and being there to help out. My dad's 75. He's very active, cuts down trees in upstate New York to keep his house heated and the water heated. And I would love to be there every day to have my kids exposed to him and his love for Jesus Christ. But my dad was the biggest proponent of, you know what, son, if you want to go off, if that's following what God wants you to do, you go, I'm backing you. I'm thankful for that. But there is a cost for following Jesus Christ. But you know what? I'm glad that we don't end there. I'm glad the passage doesn't end there. It says there are rewards. There are rewards for following Christ. And it's interesting, let Peter be our spokesman this morning. He kind of asked the question that none of us dare ask, right? In fact, Matthew gives the account a little bit more evidently. You see it there in his account. But Peter said to the Lord, we have left everything to follow you. That's what Mark says. That's what Luke says. But he adds this, what then will there be for us? In other words, Lord, we've given up everything to become your disciples, not like that rich young ruler that came with all of his wealth and left with all of his wealth. He was not willing to give it up. But we have, Lord. We've denied ourselves. We've left our professions. We've followed you. Now, what's in it for us? I like that. Peter's just honest. You would think that the Lord would really ridicule. You would think that he would say, Peter, you are really, you're not getting it. You are so hard-headed and hearted. What is wrong with you? But you don't find that in either of the accounts, in any of the accounts in the Gospels. Rather, he just goes on. He says this, I tell you the truth. Let me tell you what it's really all about. No one who has left home, earthly possessions, and left family to follow me will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. In other words, Peter, you don't have to worry about not being rewarded for your sacrifice. You will be rewarded, and your rewards will be great. Number one, if you're following there, the rewards, the timing. Let's consider just the timing. The rewards are now and in the future. You know, I must admit that growing up, I thought that heaven was something, or eternal life or salvation was really something that you never really enjoyed the benefits of until you got to heaven. That didn't sound too cool to me. I mean, even though I was a pastor's kid and was around it a lot, I thought, you know what, you have to die to get the benefits? I don't like this deal. But then I was remembering verses like in John 10:10 that says this. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life. And that you might have it what? More miserably, right? No, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now, Jesus didn't mean I'm going to give you all kinds of wealth. I'm going to give you all kinds of happiness. I'm going to give you everything monetarily this world can offer you. No, he's talking about spiritual blessings. He may choose to honor us with material blessings as well. But we should not expect that. But he's promised us an abundant life, a joy-filled life. He's promised us rewards now. And you know, he talks about here, rewards now are homes and brothers and sisters and children and fields. And I think, well, how does that work? I can't help but think that you are rewards in this life for me. It is so rewarding to come on a Sunday morning and to see the joy in your hearts as you follow Christ, to hear testimony of how God is working in your life, to see some of you come to know Jesus Christ. That is so fulfilling, so joy, brings joy to my heart and brings joy to the Lord. And you know what? Even though I'm almost 900 miles from my family, my earthly family, you have become my family. The family of God has become very precious to me. When I was 10,000 miles from home, the Chinese people, the dear Chinese people in Hong Kong, became my family. We struggled together. We loved each other together. We went out to eat together. It was wonderful to serve together. Bill Gaither, in his song, has penned these words: "From the door of an orphanage to the house of the king, no longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From rags into riches, from the weak to the strong, I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God, I belong. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. I'm a part of the family of God." I don't know if you've ever looked at it like that way, but look around you this morning and be joyful and be thankful that God has rewarded us in this life with wonderful relationships with the family of God. Some of you have rotten family upbringings. In fact, it still haunts you, the pain and the scars that are left in your life you deal with every day. Isn't it wonderful to know that you have family that loves you and cares about you, accepts you the way you are? That is, I believe, a blessing that God has given to each one of us. Amen?
Amen.
He mentions houses and lands. So not only do we have brothers and sisters and wonderful relationships, but houses and lands, what is he talking about there? I think maybe there's a greater appreciation for the fact that everything we have is on loan by God. And I think it's not just a house. It's not just a money-making thing. It's not just for investments in this life. But it's an opportunity to open up our door for ministry, to have people in for Bible studies, to have people in for fellowship, to hear about the claims of Christ, to be able to exemplify what a Christian home stands for, to use the property, the land, the home that God has entrusted to us for blessings can be a wonderful thing. And God richly rewards us with those things. Thank Him every day. I thank God for my home. I thank God for a roof over my head, but you know what? I want to use it to the best of my ability to encourage others. And so I'm praying for ways that I can use it to be a blessing, whether it's the nurses that come in for overnight care for Jason or those that are with us during the day. I trust that there's something about our home that radiates the cause of Jesus Christ. The rewards are not only in this life, but also in the future. In this age and in the age to come. Eternal life, a heavenly home, fellowship in the presence of God with other believers. Folks, that is a wonderful reward. It's not only for this life, but for the life to come. And Paul talks about that and the fact that our citizenship is in heaven in Philippians. In Romans 8, Paul says this, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." 1 Peter 1:4, "We have an inheritance that is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away." The market will not affect our heavenly home. It doesn't matter what's going on down here. The stock market will not dictate our wealth and that our rewards in heaven. In fact, you think about it, the rewards are out of this world. It's awesome. Well, not only do we see the timing, we see the rewards are in this life and in the life to come, but the extent of the rewards. God doesn't just, and I tended to think this growing up, God doesn't just like to make, you know, dangle a little carrot out in front of us and kind of give us a little taste of heaven and then draw it back saying, you know what, I don't want you to enjoy too much. No, it's awesome when you think about God rewarding us. It says here, 100-fold. 100 times as much, far greater than any sacrifice that we may make. the Lord will bless exceeding, abundantly, above and beyond all that we could think. This is more than 100%, as mathematicians can tell you. 100% would mean that he'll give you back exactly the amount that you gave or gave up. But this is not what Jesus said. He said that he'll give you 100-fold, 100 times what you have given up. He didn't necessarily mean that if you give $10, he'll give you $1,000. Or that if you give him a car, he'll give you back 100 cars. Or a car worth 100 times what your car was worth. No, God has, I think so many times we think in terms of material possessions. Oh, the health, wealth, and happiness gospel kind of people, they have missed it. They've misinterpreted this particular passage. Most of our blessings will be in terms of spiritual blessings. And obviously, as I mentioned already, the family blessings, the relational blessings of the family of God. One pastor has said this, if you give all that you have to the Lord, you will receive 100 times more joy and pleasure from the material possessions that you have now instead of that which you have hoarded but not what will not give away. This is why it's hard for me to understand sometimes why Christians are not willing to get off the fence and serve Christ. Sometimes it's as if Christians think that they're going to come up with the short end of the stick. I mean, if I give myself for Jesus, if I give my time and my talent and treasure to Him, what a waste, and boy, it's going to make life miserable for me. No, folks, that's not the way it is at all. If you are a follower of Christ, there will be rewards. The benefits are awesome. But notice, tucked away in one of the verses there, in verse 30, I find it rather humorous the way the Lord brings in this matter. Do you notice there's something else that He says you're going to have in addition to your rewards? What else? Do you notice it? What does He say? In the midst of it all, He says, and here's, you're going to have this and this and this, and with them, persecutions. Oh, thank you, Lord. Awesome. Bring it on. No, I mean, wow, none of us like that. But He tucks it away there, and He actually says it in such a way that He's saying, that's also one of your blessings. That's one of the rewards that you're going to have if you follow Me. I had to look a little further in Scripture to see if that was sort of brought out. Philippians 1:29, it's awesome. It says this, for to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake. The verse says, it has been granted. The word is charizomai, the idea of grace. God has gracefully given you persecution because you're a follower of Me. The early church kind of got that concept. I think it's hard for me to even think in terms of that. I think we pray every day and thank God that we have freedoms in this country, that we're not persecuted for our faith, unlike people in many parts of the nation. In Muslim countries, in China today, if you openly stand up and say, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, you are going to be severely persecuted. You're going to be ostracized. You will most likely be put in prison. But 2 Timothy chapter 3 reiterates, it says this, and all who desire to live godly in Christ will be persecuted. Now notice, it doesn't say all Christians will be persecuted. It's all who decide to live godly will be persecuted. The following stats may come as a surprise to you. The number of Christian martyrs, those who have died for their faith in Christ, in the last century alone is greater than other centuries combined. Every year, over 150,000 Christians are killed because of their faith. Nearly two-thirds of the world's population today lives in governments, under governments that persecute Christians for their faith in Jesus Christ. I wonder how many of us will hold up or would hold up if persecution came to America like that. Are we willing to still take a stand and say, I am a follower of Jesus Christ? I consider it a blessing to be named with His cause. Matthew 5, in the Beatitudes, Jesus says this,
Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For so they persecuted the prophets. So we're in good company. I know, again, it still sounds, boy, you're awful quiet this morning. You know, that doesn't sound like fun. But we're in great company. Acts 5, one more illustration of that from the Word of God. Acts 5 and verse 40 says this. The disciples took his advice, and after calling the apostles in, they took his advice. They're talking here. Let's back up. Let's look to Acts, all right? Let's find the context. I haven't given enough here in my own notes to know what I'm talking about. So Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, and we'll back up just a moment. Obviously, they're standing before the leaders in that nation, and verse 40, it says, his speech persuaded them, and they called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing, because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for his name. So they stood up for Christ, were severely persecuted, were flogged, punished, and yet they considered it a blessing. Someone may ask this morning, Pastor Mark, is it worth it to follow Jesus Christ? I mean, there are sacrifices. There's a cross to bear. Is it worth it? And this morning, I wholeheartedly say it is worth it, both now and in the future, to follow Jesus Christ. A man named John Patton was a successful missionary in Scotland. He had a number of converts. His ministry was going well, but he felt the tug of the Lord in his heart to go to the mission field. And not only the mission field, but to a place called New Hebrides. Not the easiest place to minister in. In fact, New Hebrides was known for being inhabited by cannibals, and not only cannibals, but notable cannibals. Now, I don't know what a notable cannibal is, but it's the idea that it's worse than just being a cannibal. It's ones that are aggressively seeking to look for missionaries. And only 17 years earlier, the first missionaries that had gone to that area had been clubbed to death, cooked, and eaten. But John Patton felt the call of God in his heart, and he went on and arrived in New Hebrides Island, the island of Tanna, in November of 1858. A year later, after giving birth to their son, his wife got sick and died. Not long after that, their baby died. After four difficult years, with only a handful of converts, facing death almost every day, Patton was driven off the island. He lost everything that he possessed as he was leaving the island. I ask you this morning, the promises of Mark chapter 10, did they fail? Did God fail John Patton and his wife? Patton wrote much later in his life this, wherever trials have befallen me in my earthly pilgrimage, I have never had the trial of doubting that Jesus had made a mistake. No, my blessed Jesus never makes mistakes. After 4 years of raising his support for missions, he returned to another island in the New Hebrides. He had remarried, God had blessed him with more children, and eventually the entire island where he went came to know Jesus Christ. One of the greatest highlights, though, was when one of his converts in that island went back to the one he originally was thrown off of and was instrumental in a great revival taking place. Patton writes this, my heart often says within itself, when will men's eyes at home be opened? When will the rich and the learned renounce their frivolities and go to live among the poor, the ignorant, the outcast, and the lost, and write their eternal fame on the souls of them blessed and brought to the Savior? those who have tasted this highest joy, the joy of the Lord, will never again ask, is life worth living? Life, any life, will be well spent under any conceivable conditions if we bring one soul to know Jesus Christ as Savior. This passage is ended in verse 31. This portion, this paragraph is ended with this thought. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. There are billionaires and millionaires who do not even make a blip on God's radar. But there are poor, faithful saints of God who have His undivided attention. One day when we get home, most of those who reached for the first place here will not even cross the finish line there. At the same time, those who faithfully live for the Lord here will be rewarded with, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Yes, folks, it may cost you. It may cost you greatly, but it's worth it all now and in the future. You can't lose. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your Word that encourages us this morning. Sometimes it seems awfully hard as we go to school, as we go to our jobs, and to have people mock us and laugh at us and call us foolish. Father, the cost sometimes may be even greater, though, of going to a place where we have to abandon all and maybe even give our lives. But, oh God, even there, our life, giving of our life, it's worth it. It's only a small thanksgiving offering to You, saying thank You for sending Your Son to love us and to die on the cross to express that love. Father, may we follow You no matter what the cost may be. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.